The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
The first thing we are going to talk about is this report that extra senior ministers are going to be sent to the United States this year as part of the St. Patrick's Day trade missions and diplomatic missions in an attempt to charm the new Trump administration. Regina Doherty is with me, the Dublin MEP for Fine Gael, and Richard Boyd Barrett, People Before Profit TD. You're both very welcome. Regina, is this good news?
Thank you, Karen. Well, actually, I think it's really, really welcome news, given that we have the US is hugely beneficial to the Irish economy. We've an enormous trading partner. I think we export some 60 billion euros of goods and services every single year. It's a major source of investment, which gives us job creation. We have about 200 jobs directly created by American companies. We have about 150 Irish jobs servicing those jobs from those companies. We have enormous tax revenue incomes. And the reason all of that is so precious to us is because we really have global instability at the moment. The world is kind of, you know, at a kind of a juxtaposition. We have decisions that are being talked about by the new president and his incoming cabinet that we don't know whether are going to come to fruition or not. So if we didn't go and love bomb and use every single minister that we have, every single Irish business leader that we have, every single one of the 31 million people in America who tell you that they're Irish or of descendant of Irish, if we didn't use everything we can to try and protect the economy, our cultural ties, well, then actually it would be hugely remiss of us. And so this very short-sighted view of that, you know, it's trips for the boys and the girls and they go off in their jollies. And having been a former minister and having gone to places for 2 or 3 days where you work 18-hour days and get up at 7 o'clock the next morning and go again, it's really, really apt that we use every single tool in our kit box right now to make sure that we minimise any of the decisions that could be made that would negatively impact Ireland.
Richard, love bombing the Trump administration. Good idea?
No, it's not a good idea. I mean, anybody I think who thinks love bombing Donald Trump is going to have any effect is on a fool's errand. Donald Trump has, I think, this time around really exposed what he is actually about. He's threatening to bomb Iran. He's talking about clearing out the people of Gaza, out of Gaza. He is threatening international trade war, effectively, with talk of the imposition of tariffs, which, by the way, just in case anybody think that's going to be good for anybody, including the American people, is very, very wrong, because it will lead to prices going up and the cost of living increasing for everybody, including Americans. He's obviously attacking migrants. He's attacking the LGBT community. He's threatening Panama, Canada, Greenland. This guy is on a wrecking mission.
So
and
what
he's
the
a mouthpiece
approach?
For... Now, this is where it does click very closely to Ireland. He's a mouthpiece for the oligarchs, for the American oligarchs, Zuckerberg now joining the ranks, Elon Musk, these multi-billionaire people with obscene amounts of wealth. And the idea that we're going to kowtow to him, or that he's interested even in what we, you know, might say in terms of trying to love bomb him or bend the knee to him, I think is crazy. We've got to stand up against this agenda because it's a very dangerous agenda. But from an economic point of view, I think what it highlights is our economy, and this has been said for a long time, we've been saying it, is way, way too dependent on US foreign direct investment.
Mm. But even if we accept that, right, and a lot of people would, while we are so dependent, does it not make sense to go over and do a little bit of love bombing? And, you know, an egomaniac like that might respond well to it.
I don't think so. I think the guy is way beyond any sort of reasonable arguments. And he's also, by the way, he's just a mouthpiece for
the oligarchs.
For the oligarchs. And
so we could love bomb Elon.
I think Elon is way beyond being love bombed by anybody. I mean, these guys are just off the wall, who are just interested in themselves. They're not interested in America. They're not interested in the world. They're not interested in reason. They're interested in profit and their own obscene wealth and projecting their power and influence. And I think that's a threat to the world also. I mean, Trump's government is packed with people with close relations with the Israeli regime, backing illegal settlements, up to their neck in the Israeli military intelligence services. I mean, you name it. So I'm not saying, by the way, we shouldn't cultivate relations with people in the communities, in economic, cultural, in the United States, because, of course, the American people are not the problem. But I don't think love bombing Donald Trump is going to get us anywhere, and we need to stand up against the really dangerous agenda that he's promoting.
Should we? Because there had been talk before during kind of that first iteration of Trump as president of boycotting, say, the Shamrock ceremony or whatever. Would you go that far, or is it just that you don't think we should kind of ramp things up?
I think it would be pretty pathetic, to be honest, to be sort of handing him a bowl of shamrock and celebrating our national day.
So you think Micheál Martin should just park that part of it?
I think we have to register some serious sort of opposition to the agenda that he's representing. I mean, the guy is he's very openly threatening Europe and the world with trade wars. You know, even at that self-serving level, we got to stand up with this to this guy. He's a bully. And I don't think getting down and bending the knee to a bully. But there are worrying signs the Irish government, that's the approach they're going to take. And I think that is a big mistake. And even the fact that we've had a lot of stuff now going around about saying if we pass the occupied territories, Bill Trump isn't going to like it. So maybe we should roll back on that. Mm. I mean, that is absolutely wrong and pathetic when you think about the horror that Israel has visited. But Trump he's a major backer of Israel. And I don't think we should be bullied by the likes of Trump when you look at the sort of horrible forces that he's promoting across the world.
Regina, what do you think we would achieve with the love bombing campaign?
So first of all, I think that you couldn't have picked two people to talk this evening about this topic that are more polar opposites. For all of the concerns that Richard has just raised, and a lot of them are true, and a lot of them are ominous and hanging there, and we don't know what decisions are going to be made by the incoming US government yet. They're the very exact reasons why we should. And it's not about loving bombing one person. It's about using the soft power that Ireland has, that no other country has, around the St. Patrick's Day period, to ensure that our voices, Irish voices, are heard at every level of every institution in the US, not just to protect the billions of euros of investment that comes here, the billions of euros of revenue that we get to the taxpayers' money, the hundreds of thousands of jobs, but also for the millions and millions of people in America who claim to be Irish, the 125,000 that were actually born in Ireland that are earning their living over there, a lot of them in Irish companies, need to be seen that Ireland actually values the relationship, the historic links, the cultural links, you know, and also the undocumented Irish. You know, given Trump's talk at the moment about how he's dealing with immigrants, an awful lot of our Irish people are over there, are undocumented and effectively illegal immigrants. And so we need to use the soft power, not just of a few 7 or 8 senior ministers going over, but every single business leader that has Irish heritage or is Irish at every level of influence in the States, along with our beautiful and wonderfully smart, you know, and courageous ambassador, Geraldine Byrne-Nathan, over there, to ensure that the relationship that we have, that we've always enjoyed, is maintained, and that we protect the Irish economy and the Irish relationship with America from any external negativity that might arise from decisions that are made off the hoof. And I've no doubt some of the things that Richard has said is true. And we've obviously, as an Irish nation, have made our voices known around, you know, Palestine, recognising the state, the ambassador here, the joining the ICJ court with South Africa. We've done things that other countries haven't been brave enough to do, even knowing there are ramifications that might come for those, because they're morally the right thing to do. But
do you think Micheál Martin should bring up those issues in his one-to-one with Donald Trump?
You know, look, we all know politics is the art of the fine conversation that you have. You're not going to do something that's going to antagonize, particularly at such a time of global instability, and particularly when the decisions that they could make could negatively have an impact. Like, for argument's sake...
I know, but what might antagonize a kind of irrational person, it takes an awful lot less to antagonize Donald Trump. You know, like an Episcopalian bishop asking him to show a little empathy seemed to kind of make him utterly irate, and he won't condemn death threats made against her. We basically can't say anything. We have to love bomb him.
Well, no, we have to go and reiterate the importance of the relationship that exists between both of them, to downplay some of the concerns that we've already heard Trump talk about, which is putting tariffs on Irish businesses, which is the 15% corporation tax, which is the tax deficit or the trade deficit that he doesn't like. He thinks we're eating his lunch. Those are the things that we need to actually reiterate as to why the business relationship, the cultural relationship is really important, a business thing,
more so than bringing up issues around Gaza or the bombing of nuclear sites in Iran or his treatment of kind of the trans community or anything like that. Just park all of that. Just focus on the money.
No, I don't think they're mutually exclusive. But when 10% of your employment in Ireland comes from American companies, when some 50% of your revenue, tax revenue from corporation tax comes from American companies, like, you have to be tempered in what we do. We have to be diplomatic, and we have to use every single arm of every single influence that we have to make sure we maintain or at least defend ourselves from any of the decisions that might come that would negatively impact Ireland, its economy or its jobs.
Richard, I mean, we are not as a nation going to change Donald Trump's policy towards Gaza and whether he wants to kind of clear it out and move all those people to the Sinai Peninsula or, you know, whatever his position happens to be on any given day of the week. One senses it probably changes with the changing of the tides. But we might save ourselves some of that economic pain if we play our cards right.
Well, look, first of all, on the economic, it's not just people for profit are saying. Mainstream economists in this country have been saying for quite some time that our industrial model that has been pursued and what I would describe as the tax haven model of essentially getting revenues in from intellectual property.
That's
what
reality of our economic model. And how we deal with Donald Trump has nothing to do with that model.
It is if you bend the knee and if you think that the way to have a sustainable economic future for this country is bending the knee to him and not moving away from that industrial model and diversifying the Irish economy, developing our own manufacturing industrial base so that we're not dependent on the whims and, you know, whatever you want to describe of the mentality of Trump. I mean, we have to get away from that. And I don't think bending the knee is going to make any difference to Donald Trump, first of all. But also it exposes the fact that we have an industrial model that is not really sustainable and we need to rapidly diversify and move away from that particular...
What type of manufacturing could we foster in this country that doesn't currently exist?
But I mean, sure, like, years ago we had manufacturing. I mean, we had a sugar industry. We used to produce clothes and shoes, or an area that I'm always interested in, which we don't invest half enough, is in the area of culture and the arts. We have some of the lowest levels of investment in the arts anywhere in Europe, even though we have masses of talent. And you look at, you know, arts, TV, film. There's lots of areas we can invest.
Arts and culture. I mean, economies of scale and the shrinking of the world has changed all that. If we want to start manufacturing our own clothes again in this country, I mean, that's all well and good. We do manufacture clothes in this country. You'll find they're an awful lot more expensive than the clothes that we import from abroad, from big manufacturing bases. You know, you talk about people's shopping basket kind of going up in price. Trying to manufacture things here will drive up the cost.
Well, as we know, relying on sort of cheap exploited labour from the other side of the world or trade deals with, you know, Brazil also has big, big costs, which we're going to pay for.
It does,
huge
and that's
costs.
Absolutely an issue. But my point is, so we can't all kind of afford to wander about in kind of McGee tweed.
No, I'm not suggesting that, although I think there are many, many areas where we could be developing indigenous industry where we're not. And I think to be as reliant as we are, and we are massively reliant. Mm. And as I said, I mean, the economists are all saying this, that, you know, with a huge budget surplus, there's this argument that has now developed, unique in the Irish economic situation, where we've loads of additional money, but we're not allowed to spend it because we're afraid that we won't have that money very soon. And that is indicative of the over-reliance on a particular sector. And now what Regina and the government are sort of saying is that we've now got to sort of kowtow to Trump or love bomb Trump in order to protect a model that isn't really sustainable.
Regina, it all well and good if Donald Trump's an aberration, but I mean, he's not the only person who kind of is, I suppose, pursuing a more kind of nativist approach to America's relationship with the world. And so the next president might have a similar view. The president after him or her might have a similar view. Do we need a new economic model?
So the first thing I'll say is that despite myself and Richard, I think being practically exactly the same age, it's where we were born in different generations. The world has entirely changed from the model that Richard has just laid out there for Ireland. You'd be going back to the 70s and the 80s. And I don't think anybody wants to go back to the very cold, dark days of massive unemployment and the cost of living crisis that we had back then.
Of course not.
Maybe our system is over-aligned, but I'm not sure what part you'd like to cut off at the moment in order for us to do without whilst we change the model. Right now, we have an enormous trading relationship, a very good, solid political relationship to date with the US. I see absolutely no reason as trying to maintain that whilst we see how the world changes with big tech, with AI, and what is available to Ireland as a niche business that we did with the financial services sector in the 80s and the 90s. There possibly are other avenues for us to create both wealth and employment. Right now, I don't want to cut our nose off despite our face, but I'm not kowtowing to anybody. It's using the arms of every relationship that we have to maintain and to protect the investment that we enjoy here, the hundreds of thousands of jobs and all the revenue that pays for all of the services and the building that we see going around in every town and village in Ireland. That's worth investing in. It's not about kowtowing. It's not about bending the knee. I'm not sure where this new phrase has come from, Richard. It's about investing in Ireland's future and in Ireland's economy. And the 300,000 people that rely on their jobs from American investments, I think, would thank us for making sure that we do our best to maintain this job.
I started with Regina. Final word, Richard.
Look, of course, we absolutely want to look after ordinary workers and ordinary people in this country. But I don't think that we can soft pedal on the sort of regime that Trump represents. He really, you know, we're kind of seeing him unveiled in a way we didn't even see in the first presidency. And he is threatening chaos and attacking a lot of people. Now talking about, you know, I mean, he's got people around him or funding him who think it's a good idea to use nuclear weapons against Iran. I mean, this is how absolutely crazy the people around him are. And then you have these oligarchs who are now exposing themselves as the main funders and supporters of the Trump regime. And I think we have to understand the threat that these things represent. And of course, we've got to be very robust in standing against this. And I'm simply saying we shouldn't be, you don't like the phrase bending the knee, but I think we shouldn't be love bombing or soft peddling with the sort of dangerous agenda that Trump is now exposing himself as having.
The Occupied Territories Bill could do more damage to our economy than any of Trump's tariffs. As
well,
listener.
You see, that's but
passing
that's the
it
narrative
would be an act of utter insanity.
But that's the narrative. That's the narrative that's coming now, and you know, so we're being bullied into just forget about any kind of ethics, any kind of morality, any kind of solidarity with people. Just be bullied by Trump and the oligarchs.
Someone
I don't
else
think
says,
we should.
I think our children and grandchildren will look back and ask what we did at this time to speak up for those that Trump is hurting. And somebody else says, the one thing we aren't short of is ministers. Send them all over the US. Maybe some might not come back. Anyway, 087 1400 106, Regina Daugherty, Fine Gael MEP for Dublin, Richard Boy Barrett, People Before Profit TD. Thank you both very much.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.